Well, you actually have experience as a road manager.
Yes.
And you did that for Little Jimmy, didn't you?
Yes.
Is that when you first started getting the taste of that, doing the road manager for the National Act?
Yes. Although, you know, we were on the road, and I was the guy who took care of the room. So it was really the same thing.
Right.
Road band artists, very similar. There are certain things artists, you know, demand or want or require that we would say, we can do without that, that I had to be a little more adamant about at times to get the things that I felt like we needed when we were on the road, you know, as far as the rooms and how we got paid and those kind of things.
So you also then, that's another trait from that is the promotion side.
Right.
Because you've worked a lot in promotions. You actually were with Performance Magazine for, what, 5 years?
5 or 6 years, until they went out of business, yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, how you got into that side.
Well, Larry Smith, Performance had Bill Littleton, who's a very respected writer here in Nashville. And Bill had been writing for Performance for, I don't know, 20 years. But they decided to put an office, physical office in Nashville because, you know, when country music got really hot in the late 80s with Garth and all that, everybody came to town because country music became a viable offering at that time. So Larry Smith, who was their sales, one of their sales directors, he came to Nashville and set up an office. And he called me one day and he said, you know, we love Bill and what he's done over the years, but, you know, we're looking for somebody that's fresh and who's willing to get out and do a lot of the things. And, you know, if you're interested in doing that, why? He actually called me to take out an ad in the magazine. And when I went in to talk to him about the things I was doing, this when he realized that I could write because I'd done all these publicity things.
Yeah.
And so he offered me the job as a writer.
Now, the studio part, mm-hmm. being a studio owner, when did you get your own studio going?
Well, when I came to town in the early 80s, being on the road and meeting people, and I was starting to meet songwriters who were asking me about Nashville and how you get started and, you know, the typical questions that people who are in the audience who might have, you know, the talent to write or to sing, they started coming up to us at the shows and they were asking questions. So I had a girl in Ohio who wanted to do a demo. She was a songwriter. And so I came back and I researched a little bit, and I ended up working with Bob Angelo, who had a studio down in Madison at the time, and cut my teeth there. And as things progressed, I started working with Ronnie Light over at Reflections, Gene Lawson over at Reflections Studio, and I started using 18 musicians on stuff. I didn't play bass myself at that time, but I learned a lot, you know, from watching David Smith and Glenn Wharf and people like that I would hire just to kind of help me.
Pay them for a session, get a
lesson
at the same
exactly,
time, right?
Right. And those guys were great. But I actually, it was probably in the late 80s, I had a situation similar to this. I had a big room in a house I was renting at the time, and I bought a little four-track Fostex, and I would bring singers in and let them sing with their karaoke tracks, just to cut my teeth. And I had a compressor and I had a reverb and I had to route all that stuff. And so I was starting to get my basic ideas there of how to set up a studio. And from the 4-track, I went to the 12-track. From the 12-track, I went to the 24-track. And then and now today, you know, we're here with the computer that can do however many tracks the computer will hold. I haven't been able to fill it up yet, so I don't know.
You put out some records.
Mm-hmm.
It had success.
I did.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, back in the late 80s and early 90s, there were, you know, a lot of independent acts out there. And as always, you know, the independents have always been, it's always been a struggle. There's always been some semblance of corruption involved in records and how they got played. And the independents were always, it was always somebody taking advantage of somebody or somebody doing that. So I tried to stay away from all of that and try to do good records, put them out, hire the right promotion people. And I mean, we actually had records in the chart, and not only in the Cash Box and in several of the independent magazines, but we actually hit Billboard with a couple of records, which I thought said a lot about the production and the way things were being done, because a lot of things weren't being done very well, and a lot of people were getting taken advantage of. So I've always tried to... My two words in this town have always been honesty and being realistic with people about how they do business. And the music business is tough, as you know. And it's not something that I don't think anybody – I don't want to sell anybody a dream. There's a lot of people here that I call car salesmen who think they're producers. And they're trying to sell the dream. And there are people buying it, unfortunately. And it gives everybody a bad name. And so, for me, I've tried to keep the integrity and be honest with people and be realistic with people about the chances and do the best job that I could for them. And I never wanted anybody to ever leave here being unhappy with what they got.
Your reputation is stellar in this town. Top notch.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's when
I've tried to do that. I've tried to maintain it.
All these things you do, is there any one of them that you like more than the rest?
I think I like the variety of the possibilities because, you know, I may get a call today to do a press release for somebody. I may get a call to do a bio for somebody. I may get a call from a magazine to go out and do a magazine article even. I don't pursue any of the writing things so much. It's not the thing that I love the best. And, I mean, I've been playing, now this is probably, 46 years I've been playing. So I still love to play. I went out and played a weekend gig last weekend at a little family center up in Pleasant View. This weekend I'm going out and play with an act that I manage, the Elvis Act. And his bass player has another obligation, so I'm going to go out and fill in with him this weekend and play to several thousand people out there. So
now you've been working, this artist is
Travis LaDoit,
and you've been working with Travis for a long time now.
Since 2000,
yeah,
almost 11 years now. I've made more money doing that than anything I ever did in the music business, and if you'd have told me I'd be managing an Elvis act, I'd told you you're crazy. But this guy is so good and so believable and so far above the typical Elvis impersonator that it's really hard to get people to understand how good he is and how well he pulls off that show. And that impressed me so much. And I remember the first time I saw him, I was promoting a rockabilly festival in Jackson, Tennessee. And the promoter, unbeknownst to me, had brought this guy down from Massachusetts to do Elvis. I didn't know it. It was one of the many surprises he gave me over the time that I worked there. But I'm standing at the stage with DJ Fontana, who was Elvis's drummer in the 50s. I'm standing there talking to DJ. And this kid comes walking across the parking lot. And DJ said, "I'll be damned. Take a look at that." And I looked over, and this guy was a spitting image of Elvis in the 50s. He had on a sport coat. No fancy jumpsuit, no nothing. Hair slicked back, young guy. And he went on to perform. Marty Stewart was on the show. Marty invited him up, and they did some stuff together, and DJ was playing drums, and it was just amazing. And so DJ has given me a quote that I use to this day. He says, "This is as close as you're going to get to seeing an Elvis concert in the 50s.
Wow.
And, of course, DJ's worked with us several times now. We've worked with the Jordanaires several times. So it's been a real treat. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it's a challenge at the same time, because when you call somebody up and say you got an Elvis act, they conjure up the fat guy in the jumpsuit, and it's really a hard sell. But once he gets into a place, he goes back. And we've been doing it so long now that he's established. People are the phone actually rings for him now, so which is good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.